Welcome to another message on beautiful Chattahoochee Creek in Fish Lake Valley. We're studying the book of Zechariah, the parables of the Bible. Our textbook is Herbert Lockyer's All the Parables of the Bible. As you can see, we'll be referring to that today. To go back and get started again on where we are in history and time, Daniel is taken to Babylon in 605 B.C. And B.C., the further you go back in B.C., it's higher in number. And as you come forward, it goes down to 600, 500, 400, 300, 200, 100 B.C., and then the double digits. Ezekiel is taken to Babylon in 597 B.C. Jerusalem falls in 586 B.C., Babylon is overthrown by Cyrus the Great, and God uses him. Now, I want you to understand that God is able to control all nations at all times in history. And what we have here, God is going to use parables through Zechariah, and Zechariah means God remembers. And God does remember his covenants with his people. We have two unconditional covenants that state to us that Israel will be in the land again. The Davidic and the Abrahamic covenant. Babylon is overthrown by Cyrus the Great. Cyrus's decree allowing the Jews to go back to Jerusalem is in 538 B.C. 2 years later, the temple construction begins in 536 B.C. The temple work is halted because of lackadaisical attitudes. They started building their own homes and forgetting what God was doing until 530 B.C. Haggai, Zechariah become prophets, and the temple work is resumed in 520 B.C. The temple is finally completed in 516 B.C. Ezra comes to Jerusalem in 458 B.C., and Nehemiah comes to Jerusalem in 445 B.C. Now let's go back, and we will recap everything we've done in the parables. We're on page 106 in Herbert Lockyer's All the Parables of the Bible. It talks about the parable of the horns and the smiths. Now, in the Bible, we know that horn means what? Strength. So, the horns, the strength. And then the smiths are technicians. They're blacksmiths. They're metal workers. That's what a smith is. He's a metal worker. Pounding on an anvil and heating metal and pounding it and bringing it into whatever shape and form and tool and useful object that it can be. Zechariah 1:18 through 21, we have the parable of the horns and the smiths. The horn, of course, is a symbol of power, he says, in the second paragraph. And hostility, and here represents the pride and the power of the revenger, a ravager, and oppressor of the flock. Daniel speaks of a horn which made war with the saints and overcame them. 4, reminding us of the cardinal points of the compass, north, south, east, and west. North, south, east, and west, the 4 points of the compass. God is in control wherever we are in the world today. Here in Saudi Arabia even. I know that these messages are downloading every month in Saudi Arabia. We know we see those numbers. And in Israel, in Spain, Australia, Russia, China, wherever, God's word goes out all the time. The 4 points of the compass and indicate that heathen nations which destroyed the national unity of the Jews when they were taken captive would be dealt with by God. The 4 horns, the horn that we're talking about, talks about there were poles all around determined to resist any renewal of national life of the Jews. That was Chaldea, Assyria, Samaria in the north, Egypt and Arabia in the south, Philistia on the west, and Ammon and Moab on the east, and yet they were even relatives of the Jews. Lot's descendants. Beyond these nations, We can see the four great monarchies which occupied and still occupy the time of the Gentiles in Daniel 8 and 8 and Haggai 2 and 6. The four smiths were all workmen, well trained and able to deal with anything that they come up. Trained journeymen. Journeyman carpenters, journeyman welders, journeyman pipe fitter, journeyman carpenters, journeyman what we call welders. A blacksmith is a welder, welding things in place. Now, these blacksmiths are very well and capable of dealing with the four horns. They symbolize instruments of divine power for the destruction of alien power and the redemption of God's people. They were his destroyers of the nations seeking to destroy Judah and Israel. For Babylon the carpenter, or blacksmith, was Cyrus the Great. Then we have Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. Then God uses Cyrus the Great. And then he uses Persia, Cyrus the Great. He uses Alexander the Great of Greece, which Alexander the Great was probably a descendant of Abraham through Keturah. And then we have the Roman Empire. The Roman Empire. And we have Pontius Pilate trying Jesus and declaring him five times that he was innocent and declaring the Jews that they were guilty of their own crimes and they should have been executed. And then he tries to turn around and give them a scapegoat. And he said, shall I give you Barabbas, the murderer, or shall I give you Jesus, the innocent one? And they said, Barabbas, Barabbas, Barabbas. Barabbas means son of the Father, of course. His father was not God. His father was Satan. All of these nations were used for God's eternal purpose and unpreventable purpose. This parable that we're dealing with here, the four horns and the blacksmiths, bring about the ultimate overthrow of the enemies and the purpose of God. Let's go on down. It quotes in Zechariah 1, 20 and 21, it quotes C.H. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Charles Haddon Spurgeon says, he who wants to open an orchard must not use a razor. For some works, there needs less of daintiness and more of force. A razor is it cuts whiskers. It cuts hair. It's not good for opening orchards. You need a brutal, hard, strong knife. God uses vicious nations sometimes. God used Hitler, didn't he, to bring about his ultimate purpose. They withstood Russia. We'd all be speaking Russian today if it hadn't been for Hitler. Hitler slowed Russia down. And Hitler made the Jews seek a promised land. For sure. These architects, these blacksmiths and welders and artisans, God has used in the way of nations. In Zechariah 2, 1 through 13, where they had the parable of the measuring line. The parable of the measuring line. It said it's not natural enough for us to dream of what occupies our waking thoughts. Jerusalem was a city of blackened and broken walls and heaps of ruins. But national pride was aroused and surveyors would be active, mapping out the new streets and walls. A line shall be stretched forth upon Jerusalem, Zechariah 1 and 16 said. The man with a measuring line was not an angel. As a previous passage in Zechariah 1 and 8, this man had no message to deliver or mission to perform. He is a mere figure in the vision and was implicitly rebuked for his action. Some have supposed this young man to refer to Zechariah himself. Fawcett says that he can be thought of as the Messiah, the coming restorer. Ezekiel 40 and verse 3 and 41 and verse 42. The city's boundaries were not measurable. The city's boundaries were not measurable, seeing its population was to spill over into the country in Zechariah 2 and 4. There was to be no limiting walls, no limiting walls, no city limits. The safety of a wide open city was to consist in divine protection alone. Divine protection alone. Everyone was exhorted to hasten their return to the city whose safety and sanctuary were in God's hands alone. In Zechariah 2, 6 through 13. I, says the Lord, will be unto her a wall of fire all around about her, and will be the glory in the midst of her. Amid all their troubles and chastisement, God had not forsaken his people. Zechariah means what? God remembers. God remembers. The unseen but almighty presence of God would be a bulwark in which all the powers of earth and hell would break to their own undoing. How safe are we in the hands of God? If the world kills us, all we do is get to graduate and go into glory. There's no weapon formed against us shall prosper, the Bible says. No weapon formed against us shall prosper. The parable of the Joshua, the priest, Zechariah 3, 6, and 9 through 15. Joshua. Joshua means what? Joshua. Jesus saves, or Jehovah saves. Jehovah saves. The three parable visions already considered on page 108 in Lockyer's book consider deal principally with the material side of Israel's tribulation and restoration. Now we have something different. Now we have their moral spiritual condition concerned. We now come to the first of the five further visions preeminently associated with Israel's moral and spiritual influence and condition. Joshua, whom Zechariah saw, was then actually high priest. Joshua, the actual high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, but clothed in filthy garments. At Joshua's right hand stood Satan, his adversary, pleading against the cause which Joshua represented. But his filthy garments were removed and substituted for a fair mitre and a rich apparel. We're saved by grace, not by what we do. We're saved by grace. If God says you're righteous, you're righteous. That's it. If God says you're righteous, you are righteous. Dikaiosine is what it says in Greek. Righteousness. We're justified. We're saved by the death of Christ and justified by his resurrection. And when God says we're justified, we are justified. These filthy garments symbolize the nation's national sins. Joshua's filthy garments represented Israel's national sin as a whole. They were an ungodly bunch of buzzards, as well as those of the high priest himself. Isaiah 4 and 4, 64 and 5. The priest, the change of garments and pictures restored of restoration by moral cleansing to a priestly position and function of access to God and mediation. The priest was a mediator, a go-between, a lawyer. The removal of sin is guaranteed and the promise of still greater glory through the branch, that is, the Messiah. The branch, remember, last message I showed this tree. This is a birch tree right here. And this birch tree has limbs or branches above the ground and it has branches below the ground. Just the same as it has here, it has below the ground, and that's what feeds it. And this here, it brings in water, and it brings in carbon monoxide, and it produces oxygen, and it takes and transports the water into the air, where we now have clouds, and that's what causes rain. This is God's way, and the word branch means a dividing. Just like this branch divides here. It means to divide. And Jesus was born in Nazareth, which means Nazareth, which means root. And Jesus was born a root out of dry ground. And that was a priestly city there. And the priests were ungodly. Remember what one of the disciples said? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Nathaniel? And then Jesus said, I saw you underneath that tree. And he said, you are truly the Son of God. He said, I saw you under the tree. Because he was praying to the God Almighty under that tree. The branch, that is, the Messiah, is given in Zechariah 3, 4, and 8, and 13, and 1. From Ezra, we learned that Joshua, or Jeshua, and 4,289 priests were among the exiles who returned with Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, remember what Zerubbabel means? Zerubbabel? Remember, he's the governor. Zerubbabel means seed of Babel. In other words, he's born in Babylon. Seed of Babylon, whose plight is described by Malachi. As a whole, the priest despised God's name. Did you hear that? As a whole, the priest despised the name of God. Without scruple, they offered forbidden, blemished offerings. The table of the Lord was polluted. The routine of the Levitical service was weariness. Preaching the word of God was weariness to them. It was too much. They turned aside from the law and called the people to disobey it. In Malachi 2, 5, 6, and verse 9, and 9, and Ezekiel 22, 26. Then it would seem as if the regulation for the maintenance of the priesthood by the people had been neglected, seeing that they lacked the robes, the vessels, and the proper equipment and clothing to do the job as a priest, a go-between, a mediator. Therefore, under such circumstances, there was great propriety in Zechariah's vision of Joshua, the high priest, and his fellows. There was no mitre on Joshua's head, no insignia of his exalted office on his person, no clean, well-kept robes to clothe him. This represented the righteousness of him and his office. And, of course, all of these priests represented Jesus, our high priest. But Joshua and his fellow priests, we are told, are a sign, a parable, a metaphor, an allegory, a simile, sometimes even a hyperbole, of real truth. Parabolically, they present all those who are priests unto God and called to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2 and 5. As priests, are our garments clean? Are our garments clean? Do you have clean garments? Are you living in this world as you should? Are your spiritual attitude? What is your spiritual attitude? Are you living like you should live? Are you doing the things you should do? Another person is introduced to us in the vision. We're still on page 108. While engaged in his priestly duties, Joshua felt as a criminal before the angel of the Lord. As the great adversary accused him, Satan tried to accuse Joshua because of his attire and filthy garments. But the Lord rebuked Satan, and he's the only one that can rebuke Satan. Who shall lay anything to God's elect? Who shall? Joshua, the representative of the people, both in guilt and in the pardon and promise, was a brand plucked from the fire. A brand plucked from the fire. And put out, that it would burn no more. And all plucked out of fire by God may never be cast again into the fire by Satan. We are clean, we are safe, the fires of hell are put out on us when we're born again. Upon Joshua was laid a stone having seven eyes. Zechariah 3 and 9, which can represent the seven spirits in Revelation 1 and verse 4. Or all the embracing here, special providence, all-seeing omniscience of God. Zechariah 4 and 10. The eyes that we're talking about here on the stone, Jeremiah 39 and 12 and 40 and verse 4 is talking about eyes. The word eye there basically means to watch, to see. And the word shepherd, the Lord our shepherd, Psalm 23 and John 10, he is the one who watches over us. He is the one that watches over us. He is the stone with the seven eyes. Seven is the number of perfection. It means to protect, to take care of. Christ is the stone. Matthew 16 and 18. And Psalm 118 and verse 12. Isaiah 28 verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3 and 11 and 1 Peter 6 and 7 tells us that Christ is the stone. Jesus is called the stone upon which the church is built, not Peter. And it says such a living stone not only attracts the eyes of his people, Zechariah 4:10 and 1 Peter 3:16, but emits from himself an illumination. Contrast the little horn with the eyes in the book of Daniel 7 and 8. And the close of the chapter is bright with the promise of Israel's birth as a nation in one day. This is going to happen at the middle of the tribulation period when Israel is protected by the Messiah King. And then she will look upon him whom she has pierced. The close of the chapter is bright with the promise of Israel's birth as a nation and in one day when the Messiah, the coming one, the branch, the stone, the root and branch of David. David's house is seen as the pierced one. The full restoration will be experienced in Zechariah 13, 1-9. We talk about the parable of the golden candlestick. The parable of the golden candlestick. And we see this whole situation laid out here is the dimensions of the tabernacle. Let's go to the Bible now in Zechariah 4, 1-14, and let's look at this. Zechariah 4, 1-14. Then the angel who was speaking with me returned and roused me as a man who is awakened from his sleep. Now you have to remember over and over and over again that every time that God dealt with a man, even in Adam and Pharaoh and Joseph and Jacob, it was in a hypnotic trance. Many visions, many prophecies were given to the prophets through a hypnotic trance. Hypnose is the Greek word. We get a word. God hypnotized Adam and put him to sleep and then took from his side. Then he made Isha, a woman, out of man. Then he said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see, and behold, a lampstand all of gold." Gold represents what? Marilyn, you want to remember what?
Deity.
Lampstand of gold. With its bowl on the top of it and its seven lamps on it with seven spouts belonging to each of the lamps which are on the top of it. Look at this. A golden lampstand. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." You want darkness rather than light. You are all blind guides. The blind lead the blind and both fall in the ditch or the creek. Also two olive trees by it, and one in the right side of the bowl and the other on its left side. The olive trees. Then I answered and said to the angel who was speaking with me, he said, "What are these, my Lord?" Now olive trees are where you get the olive oil. Is that not right?
Mm-hmm.
Oliva de oil. The oil of the olive. The oil of the olive and the first and the consecrated olive oil is what makes light in the candlestick.
Mm-hmm.
Then I answered and said to the angel who was speaking with me, saying, "What are these, my Lord?" And so the angel who was speaking with me answered and said to me, "Do you not know what these are?" And I said, "No, my Lord." Then he answered and said to me, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel means the seed of Babel. And saying, "No, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit, says Jehovah Sabaoth." Not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of God. God allows nations to rise and fall. He allows people to be born and to raise and fall and bring things about. This is what we call God's eternal purpose and His unpreventable progress. People have tried to fight against God. They try to do away with the Bible. Atheism, agnosticism. We just had an election in America. 85% of the Christians in America fought hard for the man that would give them what they thought would be justice and their country back to them. 85% of the Christians. A landslide. One of the only times in the history of all of America that the people elected a president. How unusual. I think it would have been a revelation if he had not been elected. Zerubbabel saying, not by might nor by power nor, but by my spirit, says Jehovah Sabaoth. What are you, O great mountain? Mountain means what in the Bible? Government. Powers to be. Before Zerubbabel, you will become a plain and will be brought, and will bring forth the top stone with shoots of grace to grace to it. Grace, grace to it. We're saved by grace and grace alone. For in grace ye are having been saved through faith, and that of your not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are created unto good works. We're saved by grace and created unto good works. Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house, and his hands will finish it. It's going to be done. Even though he was born in Babylon, God brought him back home. Then you will know that Jehovah Sabaoth has sent me to you. For who has despised the day of small things? But these seven will be glad when they see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel, the plumb line. That's God's standards. God's standards. God's standards. These are the eyes of the Lord which range to and fro throughout all the earth. That's God's omniscience. God is omnipotent. He's all-powerful. He's omniscient. And what else? Omnipresent. He's everywhere. No one can hide from the Lord. Then I asked and said to him, what are these two olive trees on the right hand of the lampstand on his left? And I answered the second time and said to him, what are the two olive branches which are beside the two golden pipes, which empty the golden oil from themselves? And he answered and said to me, do you not know that these are? And I said, no, my Lord. He said, these are the sons of fresh oil. That's what it literally says in Hebrew, the sons of fresh oil. The anointed ones. The ones that are picked out, the chosen ones. Who are standing by the Lord of the whole earth. The two anointed ones. Well, we'll stop there for today. And we'll begin with it again and continue with the parables of the Lord. We'll go back in Herbert Locker's book on page 109. I want to thank you for watching this video or listening to this message. I hope it thrills you in God's word and his powers and his love for us. Zechariah means God remembers. God always remembers us. Father, I pray that these words go out all over the world, that they touch people's lives and hearts. Forgive us for your failure. Help us to glorify you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.